Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo! Well, it's good to be back in California. The sunshiny Jesus. Okay, thank you, Father. Yeah, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your overshadowing love. We thank you that you have a never-ending love. And we just step right into the epicenter of your heart, into the four chambers of the heart. Nothing less than heart to heart, eye to eye, mouth to mouth. And let him kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. You know what? That's not really a real kiss. Do you know what it is? You come closer, he comes closer. You come closer and then you morph into his face and you step into him. Because I'm in him, he's in you, and we're in everybody. It's a bit of a crazy thought, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Because his blood and his DNA infused us. Energizes us. His glory, his presence. I do jump around a little bit. It's just how it is. See things in the spirit. Things move around. So you just have to track with me. Wow. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Whoa. You know, we can be so busy wanting to hear God and what he's saying to us. And we just go off in that place of our own thought and our own imagination. And there's a really good quote. I love Einstein. He says that knowledge is limitless, but imagination is endless. Under the government of God, under Holy Spirit's guidance. Anything else out of Holy Spirit is illegal, and it's not under the safety and the umbrella of heaven. And, you know, I often think we read our Bible and we read it like a biography. We read it like it's just another book. It is a living word. It is the breath of God, every single word. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It's a living, active word, like the Hebrew letters. Jesus. So I'm going to share a bit about the heart. So this is my revelation. The mind functions by information, but the heart functions by revelation. Did you know your heart has eyes? It's able to feel what's going on in your mind and around you. I worked this out a few years ago, that my heart actually thinks more than my brain. I know Ian touched on this a little bit last time. And I looked this up in the Hebrew, and it says, the functions of the heart, cardio ahead, lakar, figurative, thoughts and feelings and of your mind. That's what your heart does. Cardio denotes the seat, the center of all physical, spiritual life. It is the center, the seat of your understanding, your heart. Guard your heart above all things. The soul, the mind, your heart, your head, they're the fountain, the seats. I looked this up and it says it's the thoughts, the passion, the desire, the appetite, your affection, purposes, endeavors, your inner man is your heart. You think with your heart. In him you live and move and have your being, in the heart of the Father, of God Almighty, majestic God. So whose heart are you functioning out today? We went to the beach a few days ago, and something amazing. I was saying to the Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to bring? I just want to bring your heart. And we went to Glass Beach, and a lot of you may know this, the beach where there was a factory there years ago, and they waste of all the glass they shoved into the sea, and it's become all smoothed off and beautiful, and there's green and glass, clear blue and brown glass. It's all shaped, looks like stones, like living stone, and it glistens. It's beautiful. It's so iridescent. And as I was rooting through the glass on the beach, I noticed this one stone up on the rock, and out of it, a piece of algae had attached itself, and it had grown. It had actually grown. And the Lord said, what is your heart like? Even the rocks cry out that scripture that talks about, it, you know, you can touch the rock and pray, and you can know what's gone back in time. What's happened on that beach, what's happened in that nation, what's happened in that region. But I felt the Lord also say that the signification of this algae growing on the rock, that piece of rock, where is your heart? Is your heart stony or is it blooming? Have you cultivated the garden of your heart? Or have you cultivated your own desires, your own will, your own control? And control is witchcraft. Is your heart totally given over to the Lord? How could that algae attach itself and grow on that? We should have brought it with us, that piece of rock. It's beautiful. It's all purple and beautiful and living. There was no water around it. So who waters the garden of your heart? Have you weeded it lately? Have you tended it? Have you planted lavender bushes, apricots? What's growing in your heart? When you remove something from your heart before the Lord, what do you plant there in its place? Or do you just leave it a void to fill more stuff? Thank you, Jesus. There's an amazing book by Teresa of Avila, and it's called Life, and she talks, there's a whole chapter on tending the garden of your heart. She used to go into the prayer of silence. The prayer, she would center on the Lord. It's called the prayer of centering. Whoa. And she would be heart to heart with the Lord and know the secrets of the stairs, it says in Song of Solomon. Do you know the secrets? Do you know the mysteries of the Father's heart? Do you sit in the Father's heart every day? Where do you go? Thank you, Jesus. I love this quote about the heart. Emotional information is actually coded and moderated to regulate, to measure into these fields. By learning to shift our emotions, we are changing the information coded into the magnetic fields that are radiated by your heart. In other words, what you're thinking produces what's going on in your heart. And that can impact those around you. So what's going on in your heart impacts all of us. Wow, Jesus, yay. We are fundamentally and deeply connected to each other and planted into God himself. We need to close the gap between the brain and our hearts. Because we are cardio with the Father, connected, we carry his heart, so his coded frequency is affecting all of everyone around us. We need to learn how to decode the stuff in our hearts. I'm just not talking about sin. I'm talking about what is going on in heaven, bringing it to the earth. It mirrors, for an example, it says that we can go into the courts of heaven. The courts on the earth mirrored in the courts of heaven. Heaven is mirrored on the earth. Are we bringing heaven to earth? Do we go up and down? Or are we just living in this soul realm on the earth? Jesus. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but by the renewing of your mind and your heart, your mind being your heart. Remember, they work, function together. So that you may prove, establish the true, genuine situations, authentically or validity or will. That's what it means, your thoughts and intents of your heart. What is God's will and purpose? Which is good and acceptable and perfect and pleasing to God. Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on the earth realm. Do not allow this world, this is a voice translation, I love this. Do not allow this world to mold you to its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God's will and whatever God finds good and pleasing. Not what you find good and pleasing. His ways are your ways, not my ways, his ways. Getting to know him heart to heart. Everything about him. Smelling that sweet presence, that perfume, that centering on his heart in sweet adoration, in sweet love, in worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The heart has eyes invisible that the mind is unable to think. He is looking at your heart, not your mind. It's the way you think. Unconditional love. No compromise. In other words, when I'm praising the Lord, even if I don't feel like it, I say, God, I love you. I love you. It's an act of will. You don't wait for it to come down. You don't wait for the presence to come on you. You actively engage. In him, you live and move and have your being. Jeremiah 23. Women, people after God's own heart, that like David. When someone cries out from their heart, destiny can be changed. The holy cry of your heart, like Hagar cried out in Genesis. Depths and despair. Have you ever experienced that? Depths and despair. She encountered an angel. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. I believe that God led her to that spring to encourage her to go home so he would fulfill the promises and the hope through her life. An angel met her in the desert by a spring, led her there because he heard the cry of her heart. Are we hearing the cry of the heart of the Father today? Are we tuned in? Are we listening? Or are we busy thinking of our own ways? Set your mind on things above. David, he often cried to the Lord in the Psalms. Wow. Because David's heart was a heart after the heart. David's heart was after the heart of the Father. All that time he was in the wilderness, killing bears and protecting the sheep. God was cultivating his character, which is key. He wants to cultivate that within us. He wants to shape us and mold us so we become an image, characteristic of him in every area of our lives. The Lord put in David's heart to build the temple for the glory of the Lord to come and habitate, for his presence to rest. But you know, David wasn't allowed to actually build the temple. He had so much blood on his sword. But he was allowed to prepare the items, the stones, the gemstones, and to prepare and build it. His testimony scroll was to fulfill God's will. And I believe that he saw down the timeline in the future and that he was preparing for the temple to be built. But he fulfilled his scroll through Solomon, down the timeline. Do you believe you can see in the future? You can walk down your timeline? Do you believe that we already walk in our scroll each day? That we're part of a bigger plan? That's what I believe David did. He could see in the future. And that he was still part of it. That he was in the cloud of witnesses. Those that have gone before us that have already passed into heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I had an encounter where I saw David, and he was tending the sheep, and he was singing away. And he had this beautiful heart-shaped harp, and he hung it in the tree. But really, I felt the harp with the strings of his heart. And that when he actually played the physical heart, shaped in heart, that he was playing the strings, the Father was playing the strings of his heart. We spend our time trying to go there. Did you know he wants us to draw us closer to him more than we want him? We think it's all about us. It's all about him. David's heart, the strings of his heart, were natural vibrations and frequencies. And his heart would respond, and they would warm to and fro in love and adoration. And he would learn the secrets of the stairs, the secrets of the heart in Song of Solomon. Does Jesus play the strings of your heart? The Lord showed me that when we come in union, communion with him, that our heart is like a golden compass. Oh, Jesus. That we sit in his pocket watch, and he brings it out, and he looks at our timeline. Jesus. And he looks at us with such beauty, and then he pops it back into his pocket, and a secret, wow, pocket opens, and we go right down deep into his very heart, into the epicenter of his love and his will and purposes and plans for our future, for eternity. Jesus. Wow. When Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles, he sacrificed thousands of animals, crying out from the hunger that gripped his very heart. Does the Lord grip your heart today? Paul in Philippians 1:7 talks about his love and affections for his friends, that he holds them in his heart. I have you in my heart, your committed friendship, great encouragement to me in our combined defense and confirmation of the gospel. We are in this together. The Amplified says, it is right and appropriate for me to have this confidence and feel this way about you all, as Paul held his friends in his heart. Because you have me in your heart, I hold you in my heart as partakers and shares one of all in me. In other words, what Paul was going through and what he was experiencing, because he held them deeply in his heart, that they were experiencing the same things. Do you know how I live and move and have my being like Paul? If I want to go and see my daughter who's in Wales right now, and I tried this out 2 years ago. I learned how this worked. Cardio, the thoughts and intents of your heart. I began to think about her, and it was like having, you have a new baby and they're beautiful and they smell gorgeous and you love on them and you kiss your head. Like, we've got a new puppy dog at home, and I love the way she comes and licks my face, and I look at her with love, and she responds back and licks me when I tickle her ears. That's how it started for me. And then I began to think about my daughter, how much I love her, and the day she was born, that she was such a delight to our family. And then I could see her in Wales in our kitchen. I could even tell her when I texted her what she was wearing and what she cooked for dinner. And I realized I'd gone there, because I held her with affection in my heart. The Father holds you in affection in his heart. There's no mistake. You were born for such a time as this, in this hour, in this season, in this meeting, in this time, to hear this message. Because it was foreordained in his heart when he breathed into your mother's womb, the life. Thank you, Jesus. The Passion Translation, the strength of my heart to take you forward is greater than your weaknesses. The power of my love to transform you is greater than your fear. The power of the love is greater to transform you from your fears. In John it says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. So this is the day of perfect peace and rest and his undisturbed plan for your life in the heart of the Father. Wow, Jesus. Yay. The heart, Mary's heart, poured perfume on Jesus. Poured out a drink offering, preparing for the burial of Jesus. Do we pour out our heart in worship? Do we pour out our heart in gratitude? Wow, Jesus. Do we pour out our heart and guard it for the Lord? The heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all operations of human life. The heart, your soul. Behold, I have given you a wise and a discerning heart. Upright, righteous heart. Not a pious, hypocritical, gossiping, diverse heart. He has given you a good heart. The description of your heart, physical life, spiritual life, soul, mind, the fountain, the seat of rest. To understand, to facilitate the character of God himself. Wow. All our emotions, our desires, our sensibility, our wisdom comes through our heart. Romans 2:1. Here's the thing. Their lives demonstrates that God has inscribed the law on your heart. On judgment day, their conscience will be testified for them, and their thoughts will both accuse and defend them. So what does your heart do today? Does it accuse or defend you? I will never again curse the ground on the account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from youth. I will never again destroy anything, any living thing. Wow. Jesus. So how is your heart? What is stirring in your heart right now? Is it glory? Is it honor? Is it praise? Is it worship? Or is it full of deceit and slander and lies? Wow. The heart is the whole of your character. Is it contaminated? Is it possessed, hijacked with love? Does it overflow with a living fountain, the fountain of life? Does it flow with those streams of love? How is the garden of your heart? Wow. You know, before a man can willingly obey God, salvation, it begins in the heart, believing the testimony of God. I'm just not talking about salvation when you ask Jesus in your heart. I'm talking about full possession in union, common union. That you live your daily life, as it says, in him you live and breathe and have your being. The biggest sign that you are connected heart to heart with God is the evidence by the fact, have you learned to love? Have you learned to love? You all know the story of Bob Jones. One minute, the one where he went into heaven and he thought he was dying. But the Lord said to him, did you learn to love? Have you learned to love? Have we learned to love? Do we know what love is? I know this is challenging. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. A whole new conscience and conviction within me that sets my heart in Him and keeps me from stumbling. We set our hearts in Him. You'll be sick of me by the end of it. In Him you live and move and have your being. You're the breath, the ruach, the life. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove a heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what the hope of your calling is. What are the riches of his glory in his inheritance? What is your inheritance? Do you know? What's on your scroll, your book? What's the purpose of the plan of your life? Go and look. I proactively prayed sleepless nights, lay before the Lord, read hundreds of books, read my Bible, studied my Bible. I want a relationship, a fleshy relationship with him. I was in a meeting once, and you know, you pray glibly, Lord, I give you my heart. And I was just messing around. This is about 6 years ago. And I was like, yeah, Lord, I yield and surrender to you. When all of a sudden I felt this really eerie presence come. I knew it was a heavenly glory. And I started to feel the blood drain from my face. And nobody would have known. It was a massive meeting. And I was just in the crowd, in the worship. And he said, do you really give me your heart? And I'm like, yeah, I love all the mystical saints and Trees of Avila. I want to be in union, common union with you. You know, expect the unexpected, and he will take you at your word. And it's the first major encounter I had that I knew it was Jesus. I couldn't see him, but I could feel his presence. The guy next to me, afterwards we talked, he'd had something very similar at the same time. I felt somebody touch my feet, and I felt like fire, holy fire. And I was thinking, oh, I might change my mind, Lord. And I saw this finger like a laser beam, and it split me from my throat to my stomach. I couldn't move. This encounter went on for 2 hours. It felt like 5 minutes. Do you think it's different time here in the heavenly realms and in the different dimensions? It is. 2 hours here, 2 years in heaven. 1 minute here. The time you drink a cup of tea, you could have been back round dimensional, round the planet and back here. It's the way you think. I was struck dumb. I couldn't speak then the whole of the night. I saw my heart and he touched my heart. He leaned right in and split my rib cage. And he said, oh, really? Do you really give me your heart? It was more tender than that. I'm just waking you up. Wake up. Some of you are sleeping. Your heart looks asleep. It needs a heart charger. Ching, ching. So he touched my heart. And then this liquid, lovely, oily honey began to drip through my body. And I just felt this hole seal me back up. No stitches, no mark. I went to talk to my friends and I was like, I had to write it down. I was struck dumb. Be careful what you pray and you say. You want to pray from the soul realm? Get on with it. But I want his heart. I am a woman after his own heart. Nothing less. No compromise. What do you compromise in your lives? Yeah, dark chocolate, please. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. There's always one, isn't there, Ian? Ephesians, as you can see, I love scripture. Ephesians 15:19. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I can't stop thanking God for you every time I pray. I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than that. I ask God, our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you enlightened and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear. Your eyes, open your eyes, peel back those cataracts off your eyes. The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glory, the way of life. He utterly, extravagantly, endlessly, boundlessly loves you. Wow, Jesus. Ask him to open your mind, your thinking, to be enlightened, to perceive his love, his good and will purpose for your lives. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that you would transfigure our hearts for Christ, that you would bring them into being so aware of his heart, in that your spirit is renewed and steadfast and clean. Bring them into the transformation in the heart where they can be entwined in the love tapestry, in the ecstasies of Jesus Christ, wrapped in his love, in his purity and holiness. Bring their hearts into clear way of perceiving and receiving from his very heart, being within him, heart to heart. Then expansion of their hearts, with his heart crying the vibration and the frequencies of heaven through the purity of your hearts. There's no shortcuts. Holiness, purity, fire, altar, smoke, ashes, fragrance, perfume. Hold these things affectionately in your heart. Ecstasy, meaning enraptured. Euphoria, rapturous joy. Overwhelmed with bliss. On cloud 9, in seventh heaven. Besides oneself with joy. Woo! Delight, exuberant, thrilled, over the moon. This is the English dictionary. On top of the world, above the heaven of heavens, above the expanse, above the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Involving an experience, this is what ecstasy means, ecstatic ecstasy. It involves an experience of mystic self transcendence. Mystic self transcendence. Does that mean we can move around? We can translocate, bilocate? Teleportation? Under the government of heaven, under Holy Spirit's guidance. He is your guide. He's your way in. There is no other way. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So how is your heart? Since the heart is regarded as a seat of affections and emotions, it seems appropriate that the heart would figure in the mystical saints. St. John of the Cross, it would happen that while the soul was inflamed with the love of God, it would feel that a seraphim is assailing it by means of an arrow or a dart, which is all aflame with the love of God. I wonder what happened to me. The seraphim pierces and cauterizes this soul, which is like a red hot coal, or better, a flame. It's already enkindled like a fire, and then the cauterization. When the soul is transpired with that fiery cauterizing dart, the flame gushes forth vehemently. And with a sudden ascent, like the flame in a furnace or an oven, when someone uses a poker or billows or stirs the coals in fire. And being wounded by this fiery dart, the soul feels the wound with unsurpassing delight. Father, come today with those coals. Come with those flaming darts. Come with those fire. Father, we thank you for the seraphim that bring the coals to cleanse our unclean lips. Father, we say today, come with the coals of your flaming fire. Come with the fiery darts of fire to pierce our hearts with your love and your passion and your glory. It pleased the Lord, Teresa of Avila, that I should see an angel in the following way. He was not tall, but short and very beautiful. His face so aflame that he appeared to be one of the highest types of angels who seemed to be all aflame. In his hand, I saw a golden spear, and at the end of the iron tip, I seemed to see a point of fire. With this, he seemed to pierce my heart several times so that it penetrated to my entrails. When he drew it out, I thought it would draw. Wow. I thought it would draw my intestines out. The pain was so sharp that it made me utter several moans. And so excessive was the sweetness caused by this intense pain that one can never wish to lose it, nor will one's soul be content with anything less than God's heart. Father, we say we're sorry. We're truly sorry where we have gone for the lesser, when we have been content with anything but your will and purposes and your heart. Lord, forgive us today. We just stand on the altar. We just say, we come onto the altar of fire. We say, burn us up. Burn all that impurity within us. Just fire us like the silver is fired, the impurities, and hammered and refired and refired and refired. So all the dross is removed. We just give you our hearts. Our will, our thoughts, our minds. Your thoughts are our thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. He says, you are mine forever.